Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather together in your house to worship you and to glorify you this morning. And Lord, just thank you for the opportunity to look at the cross not only as a symbol of life, but a symbol of death and a symbol of victory. Lord, that we may be able to have strength to pick up that cross and to carry it and to follow you as you've commanded us to do, Father God. We just ask this morning and bless the music that we have had, that it would be melodious to you, Father God, and that it would be worthy of your affection. And Father God, we just ask that the words that are spoken this morning are words that you would have us hear, that we would gain strength to go out and go forth and pour from our mouths the story of victory over hell, death, and the grave, and the cross, Father God. We just praise you and we thank you, and in your heavenly name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. As you can see, I am not Pastor Eric. I'm by far more follically challenged than he is. If any of you have been following, his post on Facebook, he is in North Carolina with his son Matthew. He cruised down there in the coolest of cars, a classic, I think, Z28 type thing. Reminded me a lot of Smokey and the Bandit. That's what I had pictured. He was talking about playing classic rock on his way down. So, he's having a good time bonding with his son during his time at his graduation. So, he has called upon me to come and share the message, and I am grateful to be able to do so. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Rich Miller. I am a licensed pastor here going through the TRIM program, working towards ordination. So this morning I have the unenviable task of sharing with you the message. And I want to take the time this morning to ask you a question. It was a question that was asked of me once, and it's a simple question really. But it is one that has touched me so deeply and so profoundly that I believe it could have only come through the Holy Spirit. And that question that rocked me to my very core was, do you believe in the cross of Christ? Well, it's easy. The answer should be easy. Of course I do. But it's that very question that at times has allowed or kept me from being able to sleep at night and being able to, and I was up wrestling with this idea, and it's that question that has caused me to revisit the true meaning of the cross. So this morning, I'm going to talk about that. What is the cross of Christ? It would help if I turn this on. What is the cross of Christ? The cross of Christ is bloodstained. The cross of Christ is painful. The cross of Christ loves, it forgives, and it demands. But what does it demand? It demands that we profess it to this dark world. When we look at the Bible and we see what is said about the cross, Matthew 16, 24 tells us, as Jesus is talking to his disciples, he says to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and to take up his cross and follow me. So this morning, my question to you is, if we believe that the cross of Christ is all those things, if it is painful, bloodstained, forgiving, loving, and demanding, then I believe the next question is, what are we as Christians going to do about it? And I think that if we truly believe in the cross of Christ, it is going to require from us three actions. And I believe the first one in the equation, I believe, is the most crucial, and that is for us to admit. And the reason I say that I believe that this is the most crucial element of this equation is that at first, unless we recognize the guilt that we have in our lives, I don't believe that we even have a need for the cross of Christ. That if at first we don't see that before a just God we are guilty and we are due some punishment as a result of our disobedience to God, then I believe we don't even need to go any further. But if we look at the Bible and see what the Bible says, we see in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That is the step right there where we look, and we see that this is the punishment that that goes along with everything. And Romans 6:23 goes a little bit further than that. When we first see our sinful nature, we see that the punishment and the thing that is to be handed out to us is that the wages of our sin is death. And this is a death that each and every one of us deserve because of our sinful nature. But guess what? This morning, the cross gives us a way out. I believe it gives us the only way out. And if we take it a step further and we go and we admit before God our guilt, He's a loving God because the Bible tells us that. The Bible says that God is love. And He wants to give us a reward as a result of our admittance to our sinful nature. And if we look at the back half of Romans 6:23, the first part told us the wages for our sin, which was death. But Romans 6:23 also says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So if we admit before God our sinful nature, I believe the next two steps go hand in hand with one another, and they require us to do something. That is that we are to believe and we are to confess. But this morning I ask you, what does it mean to believe? I believe that true biblical belief requires us to do something. And if we truly believe that Christ died for us so that we could live, not only should it bring us to our knees, but it should also bring us to our feet this morning. And this action doesn't allow us the ability to be able to sit idly by and to do absolutely nothing. It doesn't require us, or it doesn't give us the ability to be able to come in through those doors on a Sunday morning, sit in the back and listen to a sermon preached by somebody for an hour and a half. It requires us, in fact, I believe it demands us to go. It requires us to follow. Because the cross of Christ is a gift. You might be sitting here and you might be asking yourself this morning, how is the instrument of torture, a picture and a sign of painful and agonizing death, how can that be a gift? But as we saw in Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life. And that gift was only possible through the cross of Christ, and I believe it has been paid for with blood. That's blood that my sins and your sins require as the payment for our ransom. Philippians 2:8 tells us that Christ humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. It was our sins that separate us from God, and it was our sins that died on that cross with Christ. So, with no pun intended, this morning, if we have those first two steps nailed down, we should be bursting at the seams to be able to confess Christ. Like I said earlier this morning, I said that what we were supposed to do if we truly believed in the cross of Christ was that we were to confess and to profess it to this dark world. And I believe that if we admit our guilt and we understand our guilt and we believe that what Christ did on the cross, naturally, we would want to do just that. We would want to confess to the world Christ and Him crucified. Can I get an amen? We get rewarded, you see, when we confess. Romans 10:9 tells us that if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. You might be sitting here and asking yourself this morning, what are we saved from? Well, we're saved because the Bible tells us that God is going to come back one day and is going to judge us based on our on the sin in our lives and the things that are going on in our lives. And He is going to, that belief, and if we confess with our mouths, is going to save us from God's impending judgment. You see, we come to the cross by the way of repentance. This is the combination, I believe, of all three things that we talked about this morning: the admittance, the belief, the confession. When we put all those actions into motion, And when we repent, we change the way we live. We change the way we act. We turn away from our sins. Maybe there's somebody out there this morning that is looking for that way out, that's looking for any way out. Somebody that's desperately seeking God's love. Maybe somebody that's tired this morning. Maybe somebody that's addicted. Maybe somebody that just desperately wants to be saved. If that's you this morning, I just want to give you an opportunity. Normally I wait and save it for the end, but I think it's really important in our lives that to have the opportunity to be able to confess our sins to God and to ask Him to become the Lord of our lives. I believe that there is a prominence to that needs to be done, and I want to do it in the middle of my message this morning. So if that's you this morning, I just want to take an opportunity to bow our heads and to recommit our lives to God through the cross this morning. So let's just go ahead and bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, we look at this cross this morning and we see blood-stained. We see pain. We see desperation. But we also see victory this morning. And Lord God, we just come before You and we confess our need for You. Because of our own sinful nature, we can't obtain eternal life without You and without the cross. So this morning, Father God, we just confess our sins before You, and we just ask that You would humbly forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. And Lord, we just ask that You would take refuge in our hearts this morning and fill our hearts with the Holy Spirit and come inside, Lord, and we just ask that You would become Lord of our lives, because we are in need of a Savior. We need someone to save us from our sins, Lord, and that person is You this morning. And we just ask You to come into our hearts and our lives this morning. We thank You for the cross. We thank You for the empty tomb. We praise You and we thank You, Lord. It's in Your heavenly name we pray. Amen. If that was you this morning and you asked Christ to forgive you of your sins and you ask Him to take up refuge in your heart and you ask Him into your life, just want you to simply raise your hand this morning. I know a lot of times when the message is given, we do it with heads bowed and hands raised. But I believe that we should celebrate victory. We should celebrate the empty tomb, and that we should celebrate with one another this morning, because if you look at it, Matthew chapter 10, verse 2 says, "For whoever confesses Me before men, I shall confess you before My Father in heaven." And I believe that this life-changing decision is not meant to be kept silent. So if that's you this morning, just raise your hand this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But I believe that it goes a little bit further than just a decision. I believe that if we are to believe in the cross of Christ, besides that decision, there's so much more work that needs to be done this morning. As I said in the beginning of my message this morning, that if we truly believe in the cross of Christ, we are to take it up and we are to profess it to this dark world. We are called into action, each and every one of us, because Christ said, "Follow Me." As you see there, Christ got our baggage. He says, "I got it, man. Now just come follow Me this morning." If we look at several places in the New Testament, we can see Christ's call in our lives to service with Him. So if we look at Luke chapter 9, verses 56 through 62, we see such instances. If you would this morning, join me in this reading where we're going to look at two different passages and translations in the book of Luke that talk about God's call in our lives. So let's read these together this morning. He said, "Then He and His disciples went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to Him, 'I will follow You wherever you go.' Jesus replied, 'Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head.' He said to another man, 'Follow Me.' But he replied, 'Lord, first let me go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. It's a radical call to service. And if we look at the next passage as well, in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, we see another one that Jesus did when people were questioning about following him and how they were to follow after. Go ahead and read with me here. It says, now the multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes after me and does not hate his father and his mother, his wife and his children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You might be sitting here this morning and looking at both of those passages and be like, wow, you know, that's really deep. It's really intense. How do we go about, you know, hating our father and our mother, our wife's children, even our own lives? But it's the love of God that we are supposed to show through, that when people see that, the rest looks like hate in comparison. It's these two passages that Christ and Jesus is talking about there, and it goes on to talk about this radical idea of service to him. And with radical action comes radical reward, because this was a radical step for these people, to leave their families behind, to leave loved ones behind, to leave their livelihood, everything that they felt comfortable. They had tons of comfort in their lives, and it was a radical step in faith to go out and to leave all of that behind to follow Jesus. And like I said, radical service meant radical reward. If we look at Matthew, as we see there, it says that there were two radical responses Jesus gave to following him. And we look at that radical reward. It says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my name's sake will find it. And so if we're willing to give up our old life for the sake of following Christ, we're going to find new life in him. After Jesus' resurrection, he spent roughly 40 days with his disciples and with other people in interactions. And they began to question him, because they thought now that he was raised from the dead, he was going to be with them and they were going to continue on this same path that they had been on. But even though Jesus had shared with them on multiple occasions that he was going to leave them and to go back to his Father, they didn't understand that. And he continued to share with them over this time period, and he, you know, gave answers to their questions. And he gave strict instructions what they were to do and how they were to move forward after he left them. First, we look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. This is commonly known as the Great Commission, where Jesus was commissioning his disciples and others to go out and to proclaim the authority of Jesus to the world. And it said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. He followed another call to their service just prior to his ascension. And if we look at Acts chapter 1 through 8, he tells them just prior to him being resurrected or being ascended up into heaven, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. He's giving them this call to go and to be witnesses, and he's promising them a guide. The Holy Spirit will guide them, and that they will know that what they are to do even after he is gone. So our faith demands action. And if we are truly to believe in the cross of Christ, then we are to go. We are to take up our cross and display it for all to see. You might be sitting here a little bit this morning and be like, well, that doesn't sound like me. I can't pick up my bags. I can't go overseas. I can't become a missionary. I can't do that. That's not what God is calling for me. But yet he's calling for us to go. He's calling us to get up out of our seats and to go somewhere. And I believe that some may be called to go overseas, but mission is right around us. Our workplaces, our schools, ministering to our friends, to our neighbors, the street that we live on, all of that, the town that we live in, even strangers that we come in contact with, we are called to get involved. Each and every one of us has a job to do. Jesus said that prior to his return, that the gospel would be preached to all ends of the earth. And I don't know if you're with me or not, but if you've looked at any of graphs or any maps or anything like that, there's still portions all around the world that have never heard the gospel message, that have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ and him crucified this morning. So we have a job to do, whether it's right across the street, whether it's in our own home, ministering to our families this morning. There are still areas that have yet to be reached. So this morning, I want to challenge you. Let's go ahead and take those crosses that you were given this morning. And I want you to take them and to raise them up this morning. Each and every one, just take your cross out that you were given this morning and raise that cross up. Be reminded, let this cross be a reminder to each and every one of us that it's not just an ideal. The cross is not just a symbol this morning, but it is the way, it is the truth, it is the life. And if you believe that this morning, let your light shine, take up your cross this morning and follow it and show it. I want to, you can go ahead and put your hands down now, because otherwise you're going to get really, really tired. So I want to give you an opportunity. As you sit there and you hold this cross this morning, not only are we commanded to pick up our cross daily and follow him, but I'm giving you an opportunity to get involved and to get involved with something that I believe God has been laying on the hearts here at Buffalo Valley. Over the last year or so, a vision has been laid on my heart to go out and to share the gospel and to preach it. And we believe that God is calling us to do that in an idea of a plant church. You might be asking yourself, you know, exactly what's this plant church idea? Well, Pastor Eric Reamer and I have been laying the groundwork for this over the last 5 or 6 months or so through a lot of prayer and through talking. We've met with the missions team, the MCT, and the church council about this idea. We're looking to plant a church in the Penns Creek, Middleburg area. We're looking at possibly planting this church in a non-church type setting. It's roughly going to be 20 to 40 members. We're looking at, you know, if it grows bigger than that, we're going to try to weigh things out. But the idea would be that it would be an intimate group of people geared to reaching the lost through the ways of evangelism and discipleship with one another. That would be the core elements to our mission with this new church plant idea. We would be studiers of the Word together. We would be lovers of God through relationships with one another. God called us all to be in relationship with one another. And I believe that this new idea would be one that we would be intimately drawn to one another, where we'd be sharing meals with one another, breaking bread as the early church did. We'd be involved in a local community, being the hands and feet of Jesus and sharing intimately in each other's lives. And it's our vision through this that if it continues and it grows, that we would disciple one another and we would find prospective leaders out of that and mentor them as we would mentor each other. And we would raise up another plant church, and we would plant a church in another community. And when that grows, we would plant another church in another community. And we would see various little congregations, little home church type ideas in many, many different areas around our community. And that way we can begin to share the gospel message with everybody that will hear in our communities and around the world. So I give you this morning the opportunity to get behind this idea, where we're going to be looking over the next couple months to begin the laying of the groundwork. We're going to look for prospective people. If you feel called to your section of of your spiritual gifts would be to want to come on board either through prayer or through getting involved. We're looking for a few families that want to come together to start this church up and begin to minister to the needs of those in the Penns Creek area, because there's, I believe, only two churches in the area over there. We have the Holiness Church and a small church on the lower street on Walnut Street. I don't believe there's a lot of two churches over that way. So whether it be in multiple ways that you want to get involved, we're going to start looking towards the idea of starting a web page for the church and lots of other ways that we're going to get the word out. So we're going to give you an opportunity in many ways to carry your cross. But most and foremost is covet the idea with prayer, because the devil and the enemy wants to tear us down. He wants us to be in conflict with one another. He wants the message to not get out. He comes to do one thing, and that's to kill, destroy, and to seek those believers. And if we carry our cross and we lift our cross up, we can do. We're already victorious. Amen. So we're going to give you the opportunity to just be looking for multiple ways to get involved with this and to just be behind it, mostly with prayer. As we go forward, we're looking maybe September as the beginning of the church plant over in Penns Creek, and we're looking at the fire company. They have a social hall over there. It gives us a great opportunity to have a kitchen there that we can prepare meals, do whatever we want to have time to fellowship with one another and to become believers together who disciple one another. So I just ask that you would rise to your feet this morning as we begin to close our worship this morning, and just look at the cross and look at what it stands for. It stands for, not only does it stand for death, but it also stands for life. It is our beacon of hope in this dark world. I just ask that you would carry your cross this morning and that you would let your light shine. Let God's light shine this morning. Let's go ahead and close with prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the cross, the blood-stained cross, your death on that cross, and your burial and your resurrection, Lord. And it's through that cross that we gain victory, that we gain life, life eternal with you. And we're so thankful for that this morning. Lord, we just pray that you continue to guide us as we go forth as a church, and as this new church begins to unfold and in how it plays out in your grand scheme of things, Father God, through our denomination and through our world as just believers. Allow us to carry that cross this morning, to carry each other's burdens as we go through this dark world, and just allow us to be that light to carry it to each and every end of the earth, Father God. We just praise you today. Lord, you said that you would return for us one day, and we just continue to anticipate that. We continue to look up this morning, Father God, and until then, we will continue to carry that cross and that burden for you, Father God. We just praise you and we thank you. It's in your heavenly name we pray. Amen. If you're able this morning, we'll close with a few songs, followed by the announcements this morning. There'll be prayer up here if you need anything to pray about this morning. There'll be people up front. Be willing to talk to anybody after service that has any questions. Thank you.